Thank you for spending your Tuesday afternoon, December 18th, with KHSU and with Art Waves. I'm Wendy Butler. Today's program is another one in a series of Art Waves programs I've devoted to arts education integration, and we're talking about much more than preserving arts programs in schools. This is also about using arts instruction to help students understand myriad academic subjects, from mathematics to science. Humboldt County Office of Education Visual and Performing Arts Program Manager Stacy Young has just secured Federal Department of Education funding in the amount of $2.3 million for a 4-year Arts and Creativity Initiative. And she is my guest today. And she begins by explaining the projected scope of this initiative.
We were awarded in October the $2.3 million for the next 4 years, and the grant that we submitted to the Federal Department of Education was for arts integration in our region. And so we are targeting 100 teachers in 3rd through 5th grades in Humboldt, Del Norte, Mendocino, and Lake counties.
The reason I was silent is because I was going to say Mendocino and Lake counties, and this is all under the auspices of the Humboldt County Office of Education.
Yes. So part of the way our structure is in California is we have 11 regions that are divided through what we call the County Superintendents Association. It's a longer name than that, but the region that I'm the arts lead for goes from Del Norte to Sonoma counties. And in this particular grant, you had to show 20% poverty rate or higher in the schools. And there was really very few districts in Sonoma that qualified based on the 2016 census data. Now, ironically, because of the fires that they suffered last year, there's people not showing as homeless, and they're not able to track the housing that would reflect that they actually do have some poverty in Sonoma County now. So that's unfortunate that we couldn't put them in the grant. But that said, there's plenty of poverty here and in the rest of the region. So we'll be working with those schools.
I always found it interesting, and I don't think that I ever asked anybody this question. I can't remember asking. The grant stipulated that the area that is applying needs to have a certain amount of poverty.
In this particular case, yes. And,
when they ask questions like that, what do they mean?
And that varies. So, for example, McKinleyville School District often gets left out of these types of grants for the U.S. Census data, because even though they have a high threshold of free and reduced lunch, which is also federal programming, they don't have a lot of low-income apartments, for example, which would show poverty in that way. So you don't really, you're not able to capture in a census data homelessness or even, we have 10% homeless students in Eureka alone that are identified. And so it's really hard to capture some of that information. And so it depends on the grant. This particular grant, we were looking at 2016 U.S. census data that was looking at low-income housing.
And just to remind our listeners what we're talking about, we're talking about an arts and creativity initiative. Now, you titled that, it wasn't titled by the federal government.
It was not.
So what does that mean, arts and creativity?
Well, it's interesting. When people talk about the arts and arts education, that's too bad. It's the first thing to be cut. You get that at your meet and greet kind of instances when you're talking about the arts. But really, creativity is so important to the future workforce, to jobs and the economic bottom line in California. 1 in 9 jobs are related to an arts and creativity industry in California. And yet we're starting to outsource those because we've been eroding our arts education over the years. And so really folding in the idea that it's creativity, and yes, the arts do that. They do communication and collaboration and creativity and critical thinking. They do all of those things, but it's really creativity that some people can get behind, and they don't get lost in the, oh, I'm not an artist, I can't do that. But it can be creative. And so it really brings in people that maybe aren't normally in the conversation.
does this grant, did you have to list or choose to list on this grant different programs that were going to be created as a result of receiving this money?
We talked a lot about professional development. So this is really supposed to be, you know, you did ask why we titled it that. So the grant, if you were to look for an Arts and Creativity Initiative grant, that's not what it's titled. It was called the Arts and Assistance Dissemination, the acronym, we're very acronym heavy, is AAEDD. So if you were to look at the federal grants, it's the AAEDD, which is an arts assistance type of grant. And it's supposed to do a lot with professional development. And so the research shows that you need 50 hours of professional development to really change teacher practice. Well, we don't have the opportunity to pull teachers out of the classroom for 50 hours, and they're already really going to so many trainings. We're trying not to encroach on their personal time. So the way we've structured it is there's going to be 18 hours of out of class time, 2 days in the summer, 1 day during the school year. That can either be a Saturday or it can be a work day, and we'll pay for a sub. So really 1 day out of the classroom, and the rest of it is instructional coaching in the classroom with your students. There's professional development models are wonderful when you're sitting in a room of other teachers and you're bouncing off ideas and you're collaborating in that way, but that doesn't necessarily change teacher practice until a teacher sees with his or her own students how the arts increase engagement and critical thinking.
And that's what you're calling instructional coaching?
Yes.
How is that going to work?
So we will have lessons that have been piloted with other classes, and they're really finely tuned before they go in, before we take them into the teachers that are in our grant. And we teach the strategies with your students and you observe it. And then over time, we collaborate, we speak, we talk, and then we ask you to take those strategies and you teach it and we'll observe it. And then eventually you say, wow, that's one of the greatest strategies ever. And then you continue to use it on your own. That's the idea.
How many teachers did you say were going to be included?
100 total, 25 on average from each county.
How are the teachers chosen?
Well, we are right now going to all of the schools that meet the poverty definition that were written into the grant, and we are presenting to them this opportunity. It is also coming with a stipend and opportunities for HSU units if they were to do all of the outside of work, written work, and reflection. So there's all those opportunities, and they submit an application, and we really want some critical mass. So we went, you know, if it's third through fifth grade and maybe all the third grade teachers at one school do it, that's great. But if only one teacher does it and seven don't, then we might not be able to support you completely in the instructional coaching part of it. We can still invite you to the Summer Institute. But there really needs to be a critical mass for there to be ongoing change in a school.
When you say there needs to be a critical mass, and you're talking about ongoing change, let's go back to the idea of if there's just one teacher that wants to do it in a school, does that mean it doesn't fall into the guidelines of what the grant is? It falls outside of it. It's not enough teachers in a school? Because I was kind of confused.
That's not written into the grant in that way. It's a philosophy. And from based on these past grants experience. And so critical mass is not necessarily that one teacher can't do it. For example, at one of our schools, there is a third through fifth grade teacher. They teach all third through fifth grade. That's critical mass because you've got 100% of the teachers
exactly
that are on board with it. But it is difficult if you don't have that opportunity to collaborate with other people and to get that support, because it's different. It's a different way of teaching, and it's highly engaging, and it can have really higher order thinking that goes on with that. But if your whole school isn't bought into it, and you have a parent that comes into a classroom and thinks all they're seeing is mess and fun and doesn't see all of the skills that go into what's being taught to those students, then it's really hard to continue in that environment. So you really need some kind of support system.
Now, we're talking in general about the new way of teaching. I was wondering if it's possible, Stacy, for you to give one or two examples of what you mean about new way of teaching.
Well, it's, or it could be the old way of teaching.
In a new way.
Right. For example, one of the lessons that you could find on the artsintegration.net website that the previous two grants have established, and so we're all working together. We have been working together for years. It's been really, really exciting work. And there's one of them called a collaboration lesson. It's a, so we talk about students collaborating, but we don't necessarily teach them how to do that. And so this is a very specific arts lesson that teaches not only elements of art like line and shape and texture and color and value, but it also teaches students how to make decisions together for the good of the group. So that it's an art project on one piece of paper that three students work on. And when they come in, it's talking about, I would like to, this is my idea, and learning how to have everyone share their idea with no opinion. And then this is what I think we should do. And then which one do we choose? And so it's actually giving them script of how do we work in a group? How do we make decisions? And that's just one example of a collaboration idea. There's so many wonderful lessons. I really encourage you to look at artsintegration.net and take a look at the lessons that have been put up by the North Coast Arts Integration Project, which is the first grant that was awarded to this area, Eureka City Schools specifically, and Create Humboldt, which is the one that was just recently awarded last year and the one that we based the Arts and Creativity Initiative on. So looking at their research and what they've found and then seeing how we can bring that to the region.
And I think an important thing to point out, because we're talking about arts, we're not talking about only teaching in arts classes. We're talking about using these creativity ideas, collaboration and other things in multiple curricula, in multiple subjects.
Yes, so that's a very good point. We like to think of the arts education in three different categories, in if you can visualize a Venn diagram. There's arts content. So your music teacher is teaching music. Your drama teacher is teaching drama. And that's the content. They have standards that are being revised and actually will be out in January. They have standards, K-12 in dance, theater, music, visual art, and now digital media. So that's arts education for content. And then there's arts integration. And the goal in arts integration is you're taking a standard in the arts, so maybe it's color or line or shape in visual art, and you're taking a standard in another subject area. Maybe it's science and you're doing fulcrum. You're taking another standard and you are teaching both standards, not necessarily at the same time, but you're teaching both standards and you're using the arts as a way to understand a standard in another content area. For example, one of the things I like to do in dance. In dance, we have some, we have rotation and we have revolution. And when you're looking at science standards and you're studying the universe, sometimes students don't understand rotation, what's rotating and what's revolving. But if you teach it to them in dance, they understand the concept and they remember it.
Stacy Young, Humboldt County Office of Education, Visual and Performing Arts Program Manager. And you're listening to Art Waves on KHSU. I'm Wendy Butler. The topic today is the County Education Office's Arts and Creativity Initiative for the region. And the HCOE was just awarded a $2.3 million grant from the Federal Department of Education for the initiative. The initiative, in a sense, has developed from Create Humboldt and the North Coast Arts Integration Project, which came first.
Yes, that was the very first one that was awarded in 2014 to Eureka City Schools, and they did it in all four elementary schools, the two middle schools in Eureka City, and then at Hoopa in the Klamath Trinity School District.
Did Create Humboldt build off of the North Coast Arts Integration Project?
They did. They used the things that they discovered and found out about the work in arts integration, and they crafted Create Humboldt to enhance that and really dive more deeply into a certain grade span, less teachers, not necessarily hitting all four areas of arts integration as far as visual art and theater and music and dance. And so we took what they found, and we are paralleling that, except for we just scaled it for a larger region. So I'm also depending on other county offices to help in those counties. So we're doing a lot of conversation back and forth. Some of that grant money is going to go to other county offices to do this work in their county.
Let's talk about what has been accomplished thus far, because I'm assuming you're going to build off of that too, and you built off of it in your grant application. Going back to the North Coast Arts Integration Project and going into Create Humboldt, can we summarize some of the accomplishments?
Well, yes, there are nearly 200 teachers in Humboldt County alone that have been trained in arts integration strategies since 2014.
Are they using them?
I would say that many are. I don't have that information at my fingertips. I can tell you that there are teachers that have sworn it's changed their teaching practice completely. That I can think of a social studies teacher in Eureka City Schools, a middle school teacher, and he would tell you, I don't have permission to use his name because I didn't, so I'm not going to, but he would tell you that it has changed his teaching practice. He had the standard, you know, here's your row, here's your textbook, and this is the way we do social studies because this is the way we've been doing it for so long. And now his room is completely different. They're in circles, one large circle, because the center of it is the performance space. And it is, he does plays with all of his students. He raps with them. They create, last year they created the John Dee rap because they were studying, the period of Queen Elizabeth, and that was her advisor. And then the year before that, they did the Black Plague rap. The year before that, they did the Romeo and Juliet rap. And those are just the performances that I got to see. And so he uses all of these, this discipline of the theater arts to teach his students in social studies.
I've referred in the past, and still do actually, I've referred to teaching as a kind of performance in and of itself.
Absolutely.
There are some very talented people who are teachers, who want to be teachers, who care tremendously about education, but they aren't necessarily good at performing,
right?
And you know, or comfortable with. They're not extroverts,
right?
For lack of being out there, getting out there, doing the Dead Poet Society kind of thing,
right?
Which I mean, I value. I think it's precious, but
Well, it's a skill, just like drawing is a skill. And if you spend time on it, then your skills get better. And I actually have several introvert friends that love to perform because it's in a way hiding themselves. It's a very deliberate. Putting something out in front of other people. Anyway, that we could go off on a huge tangent on that. Uh-huh, but these are all skills that are very deliberately taught. And so the first year we focus on visual art, the second year we focus on theater art, and then the third year we're going to have teachers choose if they want to go deeper into visual art or theater art, or if they want to pull in the music or pull in the dance.
Okay, so for this, for the
arts and creativity,
the initiative, the first year you're focusing on visual art?
Yes.
So utilizing visual art for multiple subjects?
Yes.
Not just art?
Right.
Okay.
But we have to build up their skill in art to be able to do that, because many of our schools don't have a full-time visual art teacher, and so they're not... You take a child into seventh grade and they haven't necessarily had 6 years prior experience in the arts, even though there are California state standards that say that you should have done this, that, and the other thing in kindergarten. Every child has the right to an arts education. And it is in Ed Code that they have music, dance, theater art, and visual art every week. It just is not funded. So...
And so for somebody who isn't a visual artist, say somebody who is a science teacher or a math teacher who isn't comfortable with visual arts necessarily, but they want to participate in this initiative.
Right.
That's where the person coming in to instruct is going to also educate them and how to use that. So you don't have to be an artist. You don't have to know how to paint.
Right. Well, no. And so, you know, you think about science and how much they could be journaling observations in science, in nature, in, you know, so there's so many things. And we as consumers are very visual. I mean, even the fact that our texting has turned into emojis, we're very visual. You know, our first language was pictures. And so, I think it's important as consumers that you understand what you're seeing and how things are put together. And it's important just in our humanity to be able to create and express ourselves.
Tell me again the name, that what are they called, the people who are coming in?
The teaching artists?
The teaching artists coming in to instruct the students, to train the teachers.
Right.
In how to do it.
Yes.
Who
so,
are the...
So some are teaching artists in the sense that they would be people that we might know from Ink People, that they are artists out here in our own county that are willing to come and learn how to work in a classroom. Already know how to work in a classroom. We also have hired a full-time project coordinator who was a teacher in the classroom for 28 years, has an MFA in art, and he's the one, Bill Funkhauser, who has been working in these grants since 2014. And he's going to do the primary job. He has been hired full-time for this grant as a learning specialist for the arts. And so all of that training, he will be doing some of those visits. And that release of duty, you know, he's creating videos with Create Humboldt because we are so rural. And, you know, you might think, well, now how did that strategy go again? What was it that Bill did? Or what was it that Heather did? And now they're capturing all of that on video so they can go back and instruct themselves. We're looking into technology that allows us to observe teachers. They're using it in Alabama in their more rural areas for their student teaching programs now, where it's this very robust program where you can go through their video of themselves teaching and put in comments and meet objectives and it meets the rubric and all of that. And so we're really looking at, this is technically the planning year. And so we'll have one training in March at Humboldt County Office of Ed. And then we'll have one training also in March at the Mendocino County Office of Ed so that people don't have to travel quite so far. But for that part, you know, we're really just in the recruitment mode of teachers at this particular time. I don't even know if I answered your question.
No, you did. No, you did actually, because I think you heard in advance what I was thinking, because if I'm a teacher who's not necessarily comfortable with performing or with making, you know, visual art, right. Who is my instructor going to be? Who's going to come in and train me? And and you did answer my question because you're in the process of.
Right. So, you know, and if we have some retired teachers, they're allowed to work a little bit after they've retired. It would be really great if we would be able to take some retired teachers who wanted to take on this project or maybe a specific school and go in and work with those teachers. So we're kind of ironing out those details still, but you know, those folks that are interested could certainly contact me at the Humboldt County Office of Education, because we will be looking for people for the September round of instructional coaching.
So that's what's planned, is that starting in September, starting at the beginning of next school year, instructional coaches are going to be ready to go into the schools, and teachers will have already applied and been
had 24 hours of institute, you know, training.
Mm-hmm.
So they will have this foundation.
Uh-huh.
And what makes Bill and I a really good team is that I was a music and theater teacher for years and years and years. And he was a math and arts teacher for years, a visual art teacher for years and years and years. So, you know, I'm able to go in there and say, look, I never took a visual art class because I took all music and theater classes. And so I'm just as new and feeling as insecure about my ability to draw a bird as maybe the person next to me. And so being able to sit there with them and say, but it's all about your mindset. You know, you want to do this with your students, and students love not having the teacher always be the expert anyway, because you'll find that there's students that have this skill because they spend all of their time on it. So...
And in the midst of all of this, we have an art symposium coming up.
Yes.
So I didn't want to go without talking about the art symposium. What is it? When is it? Why is it?
Oh, why is it? because we love to have opportunities for teachers to teach each other in the arts and what works well for them. So, gosh, I want to say this is the sixth or seventh arts symposium. It's been called the Arts Forum in the past. Last year, well, okay, so it went on hiatus for a couple of years while I beefed up the STEAM conference. If you remember that, the Science, Technology, Education, Engineering, Arts, and Mathematics Conference.
Absolutely.
And so last year I brought the Arts Forum / Symposium back because I was feeling like that our STEAM conference was a little light on the arts. And I really wanted a day that, because that's what my day job is arts. So I wanted to beef up the arts. So I brought that back last year and we held it in Old Town. And it was really exciting as we partnered with North Coast Dance and with NCRT and with Morris Graves and Parasol Arts. And there were seven different groups that we partnered with, and all the breakout sessions happened all over Old Town. It was really fun. So this year we're partnering with the Arcata Arts Institute. So we're going to start the day there. They are a model career tech ed school designated by the Department of Education here in California. And there are only 8 model career tech ed high schools in the whole state, and Arcata Arts Institute is one of them. And so one of the things that they are obligated to do by receiving this honor is that they have to share the information once a year. So we combined the art symposium with their CTE model day. So we're holding it there. But for example, Joyce Jonte is doing an arts class at Stu Art Studio, which is right across the street from Arcata High. And we've got something going on with Jackie Dandenau and Nan Voss over at the Arcata Playhouse. And so like the last one, it's going to happen in arts places. So like the last one was in Old Town, this one's going to be in Arcata, and that'll be February 4th. And it's underwritten by the California Department of Ed. That's the other really cool part. I had to charge because I had to pay things last year. But this year, because it's one of the things that they're mandated to do for being a model school, the California Department of Education underwrites the demonstration day. So it will be no cost to teachers. It will be February 4th. That's a Monday. And that will be at Arcata Arts Institute. And to register, you go to my.hcoe.net. So just because it's no charge, you still have to register or you won't have any materials.
Stacy Young, Humboldt County Office of Education Visual and Performing Arts Program Manager. The Arts and Creativity Initiative. Lots of information and teacher interest forms available at artsintegration.net. January 25th is the deadline to submit teacher interest forms. And the Arts Symposium is February 4th. And that information, including registration, is at my.hcoe.net. And that's all the time we have today. Art Waves is broadcast each Tuesday at 1:30 p.m., available anytime at khsu.org. And podcasts of the program are available for download from iTunes. Until next time, I'm Wendy Butler. Thank you for listening.